hear us singing when the song stops talking.
Love Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling a little radio shy, you can feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my spectacular guest for tonight, I do want to remind people that in a few weeks from now, we're going to be having our healing weekend in California, Los Angeles, California, and I am so ready to go. I'm so excited that I'm going to see some of my older friends and some of my new friends as we all bond together for a wonderful healing weekend, sharing with each other, caring about each other, and walking away so much stronger than when we walked in. We'll be having a number of seminars in the during the time of the weekend, including Janine Finelli doing one on health and getting back to health after you've been neglecting your own health. Also, Mike from our Private Eye Detective Agency is coming to visit with us. Also, we'll have success stories on how people are moving ahead and how they've been able to move ahead and to go through the healing process. So I'm really excited. If you'd like to join me, we still have a few more people who can come. So please write to me at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you information. All right, this healing weekend is one that people never walk away the same way because they feel so validated in everything they've been feeling, and they don't feel isolated anymore. I think that's one of the worst feelings of going through this, being a straight wife, is feeling so isolated. So this is your opportunity to come and join me and to meet our other women, and I think it will really change your life as it has for all of the women who have gone through this over the past 9 years. Once again, bonk@aol.com. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my wonderful doctor in the house, Dr. Brian Hooper. Welcome, Brian, and happy September tomorrow. Happy end of the month. I always know a new day is dawning when you're here. And the new month is starting tomorrow. It's the end of kind of the summer, right?
Yes, that's right. We're moving on into the fall. Ever moving forward.
I know. It was a really fast summer. So tell me what's going on with you, Brian. Have you been keeping busy this month?
Yeah, keeping very busy. I have a lot of clients I'm seeing in my private practice. Lovely opportunity this evening to preside for the wedding of a great straight couple who are off to a wonderful start, and it's just been a joy to be able to help them get ready to launch off into their lives. So it's been a good weekend, and polishing it off by being here to be able to be a support to what you do and to the wonderful women that you work with.
Thank you. And before we even get started with our discussion for tonight about quick fixes, as I told people we'll be discussing, I did have a letter just come in for you, and so I'd like to read you the question. It says, my question for Brian is regarding men's support groups that are designed to keep men in the closet. Right before we separated, my ex joined a group that meets weekly to discuss ways to be better communicators in their relationships. To join, he had to sign a confidentiality agreement and agree to a minimum of 6 months at $70 a week sessions. That was 2 years ago, and he still attends. The therapist that leads the group is a Harville Hendricks Getting to Love What You Want facilitator. I know that Joe Court is also an HH facilitator. Joe believes that even if a man has exclusive sex with men, that doesn't make him gay. If he identifies as straight, he's straight. What does Brian know about Joe Court and Harville Hendricks?
Well, first of all, I think the work of Harville Hendricks is basically good stuff. It's primarily, as far as I know, used with either straight couples or with same-sex couples. I highly doubt, from everything I know about Hendricks, that he would ever countenance any kind of, and in fact, I know he would never countenance any kind of manipulation of information. So I can't imagine a group based on his work that would legitimately want to simply coach men on how to deceive their wives and be in awe. But anyway, Harville Hendricks' work, I think, is overall quite good from what I've seen. With regard to what your writer has shared about your court work, I don't agree that just calling yourself something automatically, magically, makes you that. A person is having or same-sex erotic and affectional attraction, my understanding is that that makes them a gay person, no matter what they call themselves. You know, I can tell you that I'm driving a Lexus, but, you know, not. If you look at the hood, you'll see it's a lovely Hyundai, but it's not a Lexus. Well, I hope that sort of helps. Bonnie, what would you like to add?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not familiar with Harville Hendricks. And even if Joe Court is a facilitator for that, I don't know how close he actually is with Harville Hendricks or if Harville Hendricks even knows what Joe Court is about. I don't know what the connection is there. But, of course, I don't believe. I know that Joe Court has his whole thing with the straight guys and telling men that just because you have a same-sex attraction doesn't mean that you're gay if you can identify as being straight. So he kind of, you know, makes men feel better about themselves when they're gay, that they don't have to be. You know, he's the kind of guy who encourages those straight gay men that I write about. And, You know, I wrote to you earlier, you know, this week about some conversations I'm having with bisexual men who identify as bisexual. And, you know, I've received like 3 or 4 letters this past week from different bisexual men, you know, challenging me and, you know, feeling not sympathetic towards the bisexual community. And so what I think it really comes down to is this. I mean, the bisexual community, the men who have been writing to me, they feel that they are neglected within the gay community. They feel when you have that LGBT symbol, the one that's left out the most is the B, the bisexuals, because straight people don't acknowledge them, gay people don't acknowledge them. So, you know, even though they acknowledge themselves that, you know, people don't give them the kind of respect that they deserve. And, I mean, my heart goes out to anybody who's struggling with sexual problems, so I'd like to be clear about that.
Sure.
You know, sexuality can be very complicated, for sure. And I just hate putting labels on people, you know, because once again we get back to the asexual, bisexual, confused sexual, homosexual, erotic sexual, non-sexual, you know, and we go back to that whole Kinsey scale. Are you primarily straight with a little gay leanings? Are you primarily gay with some straight leanings? Are you neither, either? You know, I think all of these scales and all of these names are very confusing. And I go back to my original statement that I made a few years ago. You know, if you want a penis, that's fine. Just call yourself a penis man. You don't have to define what that means, just that you're interested in the penis. And that way, when you identify yourself as a penis man, then a woman has a choice to decide, do I want a man who wants to be with a penis in any shape or form? And that way, you don't have to feel you're on a scale. You don't have to feel like I have to give myself a label. I don't have to say I'm gay. I don't have to say I'm bi. I don't have to say I'm trendy. I don't have to say I'm old-fashioned. I'm just a penis man. I like penis in some form or another. And I think that would uncomplicate it. What do you think?
Well, that would be rather direct if people had that sort of embroidered on their polo shirt, wouldn't it?
A big P.
Instead of polo. You go.
Yeah, I mean, look, they do have the polo shirts. So you can have, you know, the big P on your shirt, and then people will know. But this way, I just feel that it is so complicated, and it doesn't have to be. You just have to say to the woman, look, I love you, but I like penis. So it's your choice now. Do you want to be with me or not, even though I'm going to still like penis? And then that way, at least you'll have, right?
Well, I might not phrase it the same way you do, Bonnie, but I agree with the conclusion you have, which is that, yeah, we need to be very clear with people. And I realize that, and you know very well from the work that you've done, that both gay men and perhaps truly bisexual men do get into marriage relationships with good intent. But when they come to grips with the fact that they are either gay or bisexual, I'll countenance the idea that they're genuine bisexual people that live in this world, then they need to be very clear about that with their wives, if they haven't told them going into it, so they can make the choice if they want to live with that or not. One of the concerns I have for women who find themselves in this is distinguishing between a gay man who takes comfort in calling himself bi versus a man who may be truly bi. I mean, you know, that's a hard position, which is for her to discern and be comfortable with. But the other thing is, if the person has cheated on her, it may not matter which he identifies as, because that's not what, as I like to say, she signed up for.
I don't know. I find it, I'm not saying no, and once again, I don't like to acknowledge bisexuality, because I don't think that's what the majority of people coming to me are talking about with bisexuality. I always feel bisexuality means you have a choice, and it just makes women try that much harder to be the choice. And they can knock themselves out, but it's not going to take away those male attractions. So a woman has to live with that insecurity, is that male attraction going to get too tough for that man to say no to? But
mm-hmm.
I think more, what's more difficult for me, and that's, and this is me, and I'm certainly not speaking for the women of America. I'm just speaking for most
right.
of them, but not for every
okay.
single one. But I think that we have a hard time thinking that our husbands are fantasizing about men in order to get sexually excited.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, for straight women, this is kind of like where it's at. We want our husbands fantasizing about us, not about
sure.
men.
Sure.
You know, and I just feel that most, if you can accept this about your husband, if it doesn't bother you, then I say go for it. There are women who go out with guys who are cross-dressers, and they couldn't care less. You know, they love their husbands. They don't care if they get dressed up in dresses. I'm not judging them. If they're happy and they love their husbands and they can accept that, more power to them. You know, I just couldn't. And I don't say
right.
there's anything wrong with cross-dressing, and I say that most cross-dressers are straight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not comfortable with a man who has to get dressed up like a woman to feel sexual. I feel there's just something for me that doesn't click with that. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work for other women. So I always say you
right.
have to find what your comfort level is, what can you live with. But I do feel that women need to know this ahead of time.
Yep.
And this is where I think that most men fall short, is by being honest about it. So later.
I had one gentleman write to me recently after hearing us on your show, write to me and say, you know, for me, after you talked about defining being gay as both emotional attraction and erotic attraction to men, he said, that's what really clicked for me. And I realized I didn't have both of those for my wife, but I did have them for men. And I need to be honest with it, even though I love her dearly, you know, and care about her, I can't continue to, now these are going to be my words, you know, deceive myself or her. And so, you know, is making the choice to be straightforward with her about that. And I commend him for that kind of honesty. And also the looking inside and realizing it's both the sexual and the emotional components that are there. And a lot of men, they're afraid to admit the emotional component, you know, because somehow that even feels more vulnerable than the sexual, external kind of erotic attraction.
I think that some men are, they really do love their wives the best that they can, and they're very emotionally tangled in. You know, you and I have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're confused, they're failing, but I love my wife. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to have a life without my wife, without my family. How could I ever think about giving that up just for some male sexual need that I have? And I think that they're very torn that way. Because, like you said, it's a matter of having the emotional connection and the erotic connection. But what happens when a man has the emotional connection to a woman but the erotic connection to a man? How do you deal with that?
Well, if I was, you know, speaking with him, I would want to know, I ask questions like this, is there a difference between when you're being held by a man emotionally for you and for when you're being held by your wife by you? And the answer I get back pretty consistently is, in fact, very consistently is, yes, there's a big difference. It's completely different when I am being held by a man versus being held by my wife. I feel whole. I feel completed. I feel connected to something that's alive that I don't otherwise feel, even though I have affection for her and care about her deeply. But it's more like being with a really good friend. And that's what men tell me. So I would want to know if maybe they were blocking the emotional connection they're really feeling inside.
You mean for a man?
Yeah.
I mean, is it possible that there are men who can't have an emotional connection with another man, just a sexual one?
I think there are men who are so blocked emotionally that they can't allow that. But I think it's because there's something that keeps them from accepting it. But I don't think that there are men who just naturally just have sex with men, but feel that same emotional bond that a gay man would have with another man with their wife. In other words, I don't think they want to have sex with a man when they're feeling really emotionally connected with their wife. Personally, that's my perspective. And, you know, I don't have all data from all places.
No, you're right, exactly. There are no perfect 100% answers to everything. You and I speak from what we know from our knowledge of working with the situation. And,
right.
Of course, you speak also with the knowledge of being a gay man, because you can certainly talk
yeah.
about that and understand yeah. it, right?
Right, right. Yep.
And that may be different. You know, if you were a straight man, you may not have the same kind of, you know, perspective. I wouldn't expect you to.
I don't
so you
know
can,
that I know to ask some of the questions that I ask as a gay man if I was a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the experience from the inside out. I also know from my earlier years what it's like to feel very frightened by that attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And mystified by it and want to tamp it down, you know.
How about, is it possible that a narcissist man doesn't have to have an emotional relation with anyone but himself?
Yeah, in many ways. I think that especially if they're, you know, more on the sociopathic kind of range of that narcissist, you know. There's some people
right.
who are incapable, it seems, to bond with anyone emotionally.
Right. So they don't necessarily have to have a full-blown emotional relationship. They can just be having a sexual relationship, right?
Yeah.
I think like James McGreevy, and as he writes in his book, The Confession, you know, he was having a lot of sexual encounters while he was, you know, the governor even during that time, really pushing the limits all the time. And he didn't necessarily develop any kind of emotional reactions to these guys. You know, he just wanted a sexual feeling.
Right, right.
Are there men like
yeah.
that?
Of course. Well, I mean, I think you just cited one, so of course.
But now he's in a relationship with a man, you know, so it didn't... I think he was situationally just having these
right.
momentary sex things because he was married and he was a public figure, so he didn't want to get involved in an emotional relationship. But
well,
I don't think
right.
that, like, for instance, my ex-husband could ever be involved in a loving, caring relationship. You know, he's just, you know, too much, and he's the first to tell you. He doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't
you know,
know
he can be involved with somebody,
capable.
But not in an emotional way.
Right. Apparently he's not capable of attaching, and there's a we would say an attachment disorder of some sort there, which is distinct from a man who says, I can't allow my heart to get involved with anybody. It just gets too complicated, but I do like the sex. I'm going to go get it.
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of that to witness, unfortunately, in the gay community. And I think that's also very much the case for a lot of men who are married because somehow they can justify continuing to have sexual encounters. In fact, I'm thinking one of my clients said that to me. I could have sexual encounters with other men because I wasn't letting my heart get involved. But how many straight men have random sex with women and don't allow themselves to become emotionally involved either because it would completely mess up their, you know, the good game that they've got going in their heads. So it's not just confined to gay men, is it?
All right, so that leads me to the next letter that came in for you about 3 minutes ago as we were talking.
Okay.
And it says, ask Dr. Hooper why it seems that gay men want sex all the time, even when they are in a monogamous relationship with someone.
Meaning that they want sex with people outside of that relationship, or the
sex with people outside the relationship.
Even when they're in a committed, monogamous, same-sex relationship?
Yes.
Well, so I think that for a lot of men who are gay, there is this need for validation of who they are, and they have been taught that they can get that through hooking up with other men. And I think a lot of it goes back to not being able to disclose early on who they really are, or how who they really are is discounted. So it's all about some sort of facade that gets created, and they get attention and get applause. So when we see that, even doesn't matter if it's gay or straight, when we see people who are acting out a lot and having a lot of random sex and hooking up and are not faithful, ultimately it's not about sex, in my opinion, as that of many therapists. It's about something that is stunted inside that kept them from being able to truly love and accept themselves. So they're getting validation from the outside.
Yeah, I really don't have an answer to that. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know too many gay couples that have been 100% monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't know that many gay couples, so I can't I can't give a generalized statement. You would certainly know more of them than I do.
Yeah,
I mean, the ones that I've seen who are in loving, committed relationships are not necessarily monogamous, because they tell me, and this is what I've been told, that sex doesn't necessarily equate with love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that as well. It's not the position that I hold personally, but that's, you know, my position. I see that a lot out there. I don't judge these people. It wouldn't work for me.
Right.
I also have friends who are living in same-sex, committed, truly monogamous relationships as they report it, and I have no reason not to believe them about that.
Uh-huh.
By the way, if any of the listeners are interested, a really good book on dealing with emotional development in gay men and how it doesn't always go right, you know, and what gets them into trouble. A really good book would be The Velvet Rage, and I would encourage folks to read that.
Uh-huh.
Both gay might be listening, as well as, you know, straight women who just want to know what that inner experience is like.
I don't think too many of our women really are that interested right now.
Well, there may
although
be.
Although I do encourage it. I do encourage it. I think that right now they're suffering, and, you know. I've certainly read The Velvet Rage, and I think it's a wonderful book. You know, and I try to. I'm removed enough from the situation at the moment, whereas, you know, it doesn't hurt me so much like it does other women.
But since you asked the question about why is it that this happens, that lots of gay men are in committed relationships and have sex on the side, I think The Velvet Rage does a good job of responding to that.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does give you a good understanding into the insight and, you know, certainly of gay men. I think it's, you know, I highly really recommend that book when you're ready.
Yeah,
if you're not ready, and put it on the side.
And for men who are contemplating coming out, read the
book.
Absolutely. Yep. Read the book.
That's a really good book for reading.
Let's talk about it. It will help you, I think, have some insight that will help you do the right thing.
And that's really what it's about, doing the right thing. And I know that one of the things that we said we were going to talk tonight about is that when guys are really ready to go, they are really ready, and you know, they're looking for some kind of miracle to happen in their homes that will fix whatever messy problems there's going to be left behind. And you said that you would talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I thought we might talk about quick fixes. And, you know, and this applies both to gay men who are coming out as well as women who find themselves married to gay men. All of us none of us like cognitive kind of tension and distortion. We like things kind of settled so that we can get on with our lives. And the tendency is to want to rush to a quick decision about something. So far too many men who come out, I think that their wife should get it, like, right away. And be okay with this once they told them, you know, well, we'll move on with our lives and, you know, let's get this peaceful divorce and all of that. Well, I remind men, I said, you know, it's taken you how long to, you know, get the courage together to come out, to accept yourself, first of all, and then to come out? Don't think that this is going to be an easy thing for, you know, your wife to hear. It's going to take some understanding. And I would also say to the women, don't expect yourself to immediately be real understanding. You're going to have a whole range of emotions. And Bonnie, you could speak to that range of emotions and what they are and about some timing about that. So why don't I turn it over to you to talk about that for a moment?
I just want to go back to what you're saying because I think it is so important. If you don't mind, I just would like to reiterate that. When men come to me for help, and, you know, I get maybe 8 or 10 a week. It's not like masses of men. I have far more women. But when men come to me, they usually come to me because they don't know how to come out to their wives and they're finally ready to come out to their wives. And in 95% of those cases, the reason why they're ready to come out to their wives is because they're already involved in another relationship. And so now there's either pressure from that relationship to get moving, or else they can't keep feeling like they want to keep pretending when they're in love with somebody else, and now they have to come home to their wife. So now they're looking to me to find the magic answer on how I can make this happen for them and, like, give them permission to go and make everything fine. And, of course, you know, I always tell these men just what you're telling them. You know, you spent your whole life struggling with this issue. And even if you weren't consciously doing it, you were subconsciously doing it. From, you know, the time that you were a child until now. People just don't wake up at 35 and say, oh, I'm having sexual feelings for men. I mean, this has been going on for a while, and you can suppress it, so maybe you're not real conscious, but it's been there. So now, finally, you're dealing with it, and not only dealing with it, but you're out there looking for it, not only looking for it, but now you have a boyfriend or a man friend, and you want to make a move to become his partner. So now you want to tell your wife, you want me to help her get past it in about, you know, 2 days, so that everything's fine and you can move on in your happy life. And I just tell men this isn't happening. You know, you have to give your wife the time to first absorb the shock. Then she's going to be, you know, beside herself because the life as she knew it, all of a sudden is going to fall apart. And I think what makes it so hard for, you know, me to understand this is that men feel, well, all right, I've had men call me up and say, you know, you talked to my wife 2 weeks ago, and she's not doing any better. You know, what's taking so long? You know, 2 weeks is not a fair timeline when you've been struggling with this for so long.
No.
And now your wife has to first decide, what's going to happen to me? I have 3 children, 5 children. I'm not working. You're pulling out. I'm going to lose the house. You know, it's a lot more than, honey, I'm gay. I mean, it's your whole life is shattered and falling apart. And that's right. What these men do not understand. And I do understand to a point. I don't want to just say that, you know, what rats they are. I do understand that, you know, they finally are coming to terms with themselves and they want their life. But you know what? They created this other life, and that's their first obligation as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they have to stay there forever. I'm not even saying they have to stay there. But I am saying they have to be emotionally and financially responsible to that family. You know, they can't sit and blame their wife for being this and that, and it wouldn't have worked out anyway, even if we weren't together. You know, even if I wasn't gay, you know, we wouldn't be married anyway because we have too many differences. Well, you do have too many differences because you're a gay man. You didn't belong there to start with. But you don't know what differences you wouldn't have if you hadn't been gay. So, you know, they look for ways to justify their bad behavior, And I think that's really, you know, really sad that men who were so loving and caring as husbands or proclaimed to be or promised to be are now all of a sudden strangers to their family. And a lot of times they just become totally unemotionally involved with the kids, and that's what hurts most of all. Or else if they're sociopaths and narcissists, which some of them are, not all, you know, then they're using the kids as a weapon against their wives and just trying to emotionally manipulate everything so they don't have to pay child support. You know, that's my concern with some of these groups of men that meet, these gay father groups, because they come to me and they tell me, well, I was told by this one that I don't have to say I'm gay, because once you say you're gay, then they try to get you for more. You know, this is the kind of lack of encouragement of doing the right thing that I resent coming out of groups like this. Do you hear about this at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, well, I don't know about those groups. You are more in touch with that because the men who come to see me really want to work on dealing
with
their
issues.
Yeah, doing the right thing. I mean, yes, everybody needs to know what their legal rights are, of course, but that's not the same as using legal counsel to avoid doing the ethically correct thing. And I always encourage men I work with to do what is ethically correct. I want to talk, however, just a moment about, you mentioned the children, and I want to emphasize as well that, and I had this discussion with a really lovely man recently, trying to do the right thing. He's a difficult situation. I appreciate that. It's a little complicated, and I'm not going to go into the complication now. But what I was trying to assist him on to understand is that you can't expect a child or an adolescent to say, oh, you're still going to be my father. You're still going to provide for me. I'm still going to have nice things because of you. You're going to continue to reach out to me. So I'm supposed to be just fine with that. The child is still going to, or the adolescent, is still going to have a very, you know, in many cases, most cases, a very negative response, in the same way as if, you know, two straight people were divorcing as well. I mean, it's a complete disruption to their lives. And there may be a lot of anger because, you know, children rely on their parents to keep their little universe safe. And when they're both not living under the same roof, it doesn't matter if they're gay or straight. It's the situation of that household really is being divided, torn apart. And they are going to have a reaction to that. So I would encourage men to be patient with the children. I would encourage the wives to understand that as well. Of course, they know it very well themselves because they're on the receiving end of it. But to also to encourage the fathers to be patient with the children in this situation, too. This is really tough stuff.
I encourage them also to spend more time with their children because all of a sudden your wife is now a single mother and becoming a weekend, every other weekend father is not enough. You know, women need to have time to themselves also. They have to first go out and become breadwinners. They have to take care of the house. They have to raise the children. It's a gruesome responsibility. And, you know, I just don't understand sometimes the thinking of men, and I'm not talking about just gay men. I mean men in general, that you were there as an active partner in raising these children, and now you get a divorce. And I know you have other priorities. If you're gay, you could be starting out in your new gay life with your partner. But if you're straight, you could be doing the same thing. And they just feel that, you know, well, I have my life and I'll see my kids when I see my kids, you know, because they're being selfish. And I tell women this is not necessarily having anything to do with gay. I mean, I have a father who was the same way and he was straight. And he had five children from my mother, one child from another mother. And, you know, once he left, I mean, had very little time for any of us and purposely went out of his way to not financially support us. Because he was very sociopathic in his methods also. But it happens for men across the board, so I don't want to make this just a gay thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also
right.
for sociopaths, I don't want to make that just a gay thing either. I mean, that's just
yeah.
somebody's sexuality as opposed to their personality.
Right.
Because I have, you know, like I say, a father who was a total sociopath, and, you know, he's straight. So that doesn't have anything to do with sexuality. But it does seem that, you know, with being gay, you're now entering a world that was forbidden to you for so long that your priorities do change. And I really push men that, you know, you have to really be responsible to that life that you created with someone. And just because you love someone else now doesn't negate the fact that you brought these children into the world and they're your children.
That's exactly right.
Do you feel that some of these men may have a problem connecting with their children, though?
Well, yeah.
As gay men.
And it's not because they're gay. I would emphasize that. It's because of the residual issues in their lives that if they had processed, they never would have gotten into the situation in the first place. So they may be men who are very guarded and emotionally unavailable. Not all of them. I mean, I'm thinking of one gentleman
right.
I'm working with now who is emotionally very available to his kids. He loves them, wants to spend
uh-huh.
time with them, and really is struggling with, now that he's out, you know, making sure that he does all he can to try to stay connected. So it's not all gay men, but for many, part of what got them into this is because they weren't in touch with the deeper things inside of themselves, and it kept them at arm's length. Their children too, so they have some of their own, you know, inner work to do, and with their own healing. When we reject ourselves at the core, who we are, it's difficult then to really connect up with the core of other people.
I think that's true, but I also think that men have unrealistic expectations of what is expected of them. You know, one of the things that I resent is that when gay men who are married to women
mm-hmm.
take the attitude, well, I've paid my dues, and I'm out of here. You know, I was a provider, I was a supporter, you know, I waited till my kids got older, and now that's it, you know, and you should be thankful that I stayed and that I was a financial support to you, and you know, they resent their wives. You know, they treat them like they were the jail keepers because they felt locked up in their marriages that they created, by the way,
mm-hmm.
not their wives. They were the ones who asked their wives to get married. But instead of showing the kind of compassion that they promised to, they just turned that into resentment because they felt they were locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I just see this happening so much, Brian. You know, they just feel like, you know, women are the jail keepers keeping them in their straight jail. That they put
doesn't
themselves
that, doesn't
into.
Doesn't that seem like, Bonnie, doesn't that seem like a projection to you, projecting onto the woman the anger that they might otherwise have had for themselves for, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, behind bars, sure.
Yeah, I always sure. say that, you know, when they look at you, you know, it reflects the guilt that they have also.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking at themselves and feeling guilty and then, you know, taking it out on you that they even have to feel like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it's very hard living a life that's not yours to live. I don't know how these men keep doing it, because I'll be honest, I can compartmentalize, but not that good. I mean, I just couldn't keep faking it like that.
Yeah. Well,
it has to be hard.
I will tell you, it's just energy depleting for many men, maybe not all, because, again, I tend to see the ones who want to make a change, not the ones who are staying stuck, but even those who eventually come to see me say when they were working so hard at keeping it compartmentalized that it was energy draining for them. And it makes sense because they're not only compartmentalizing something from their wives, they're also compartmentalizing, you know, the deeper parts of who they are from themselves. It's not integrated. I keep coming back to this. issue of integration and integrity. People who are really integrated at a deep level, they're honest about who they are, what's going on, they're doing their work, they're not running away from it. Those people then are empowered to live with integrity, because what they say with their mouth is in conjunction with the life they live. But when people are living without that kind of integration, then what they say with their mouth doesn't match the way their lives are being led, because they're not working at a deep level, being honest with themselves.
Well, it's interesting that tomorrow my new newsletter for September will be coming out. And I'm continuing on from last month with the letters that women sent me in response to two men's letters that I put in July. And how I asked women to write to me, how can I respond to men to show them the emotional depth that you're, you know, feeling on the situation, you know, without just the blind anger that's attached to it, something that will get to them. But I try to put as many responses in it as I, you know, can in these last 2 months.
Yeah.
But
right.
One thing that came up, and I'm reprinting this was an article that, you know, Wendy, who's part of my group, makes up Wendy's lists, which are just amazing, that really reflect the emotional rawness of what we go through. She made up a list, and one lady, you know, sent it to me. She says she wants to have this reprinted for this particular group, and it's called How Dare You? And I think it's really good. I think you'll like this. But it's a list of things like, how dare you think you are the only victim? How dare you think I'll be just fine and married off in no time? How dare you try to make me feel guilty for abandoning you when you have abandoned me from the start without explanation? How dare you complain that you can't afford this or that? How dare you not bend over backwards to be sure I will at least be financially secure, if nothing else? How dare you act jealous because the kids are closer to me than you when you are rarely around? How dare you go behind my back after taking a solemn vow? How dare you call me now to chit-chat because you are the one who is lonely? How dare you say you understand what I'm going through? How dare you defend your deceit under the guise of not wanting to hurt me? How dare you lie to me, through omission or otherwise? How dare you tell me to calm down and that is not a big deal? How dare you assume I have a bright future since you let me out of the relationship and you're the one who's in a bad way now? How dare you come clean with me? How dare you not come clean with me the minute you figured it out? How dare you? And I think this pretty much, you know, articulates how a lot of us feel.
Yeah, that's a very helpful list of. In fact, I think I'm going to keep a hard copy
yeah.
of that mm-hmm. to give men who see me, so that they can kind of do a little evaluation and see if they are thinking of saying or doing any of those things too. So thank you for that.
Yes, well, I think it just, you know, kind of articulates, you know, gay men are from, I'm not sure what planet they're from, and women may be from Venus, penis, I don't know. But women are from Venus, men are from penis. That's the only thing I can say, because a lot of times that's what they're thinking with. But it's true, like when they say, you know, oh, you're going to be fine, you'll find somebody else, you know, or a lot of times they make you feel bad, you know, that you abandoned them, but they were never there for you. You know, it's like so ridiculous. So, you know, women live with a lot of these feelings of emotional, you know, confusion, and guys really need to understand this so they can make it a little bit easier.
Right.
You know, I still feel, you know, you take a vow, it's your responsibility to try to do your best. If it can't work out, that's fine. Stop blaming your wife. Would it matter what kind of wife she was, Brian? If you had the most beautiful Barbie doll on your arm, would you want her anymore if you're a gay man? Does it matter?
Well, no, it wouldn't matter. And you know, I could have faked it. And I said to myself, because at least I was self-aware enough at an early age to say, no, you can't do that. You can't do that to another woman, and you can't do that to yourself. You're not going to do that. But, you know, not everybody gets it early on. I know that. So when they don't get it and they make a choice that's not a good choice, then they need again to live with integrity and, you know, and tell as soon as they're aware, as soon as they're able to do that, and then work together for a peaceful resolve. And, you know, I can never predict with men what the response of their wives will or will not be, but I have heard stories of amazing compassion of one wife who looked at her husband and said, I can only imagine how painful this must have been for you. You know, so guys, do the right thing. Get out of the outcome. Stay in the process. Don't try to control her response. She gets to have the response she gets to have. Don't try to control it by anticipating it and skirting around it. Just man up, do the right thing.
Right, and I say the same thing. You know, you made a mistake, and mistakes can be fixed. I always say that I would bet 95% of these men went into the marriages with good intentions. They really loved their wives. I'm going to say maybe 5% went in not with good intentions. They just needed a wife. But 95% of all the men that I deal with, they really truly loved their wives when they got married, and they wanted to do the best they could. They knew
and
they
and
had
will,
something
I will
different.
Echo, I will echo that. I will echo that as well of the men I see. Yes, they said they deeply cared, and they didn't have the wherewithal at the time to really think about emotional and erotic attraction. They were trying to fit into a paradigm that they'd been told was the only one that was acceptable.
And yeah. I understand it. I get it. And, you know, it happens. And that's what I always tell women. You know, it's not like they were trying to trick you or deceive you all those years. They themselves were hoping their love for you would be so strong that it would take away those feelings, but it doesn't. So is it right? No, it's not right. But is it wrong? No, it's just you have to understand mistakes happen, and now the mistake has to be fixed.
Right.
But some of these guys just don't fix it. They just let it break further and further apart.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that I'm left to deal with, the ones who are not really looking to fix it, the ones who are letting their wives struggle, blaming their wives for the failure of the marriage. It had nothing to do with the woman. It wouldn't have mattered who she was.
Mm-hmm.
Would you reaffirm that for me, Brian?
I would indeed. Yep, I would indeed.
That doesn't determine whether a gay man has a successful marriage or not successful marriage. It's not the wife he has. It won't make any difference. It doesn't matter how hard you try and how beautiful you are. You're a woman, and he wants a man.
Right.
And if he doesn't want a man on an emotional level because he can't come to terms with himself, at least he wants one on a sexual level. And
Right. Just,
I always say to women, just like you're always thinking, how can I get my husband to make love to me? He's always thinking, how can I avoid making love to her? And
yeah.
This is where, you know, that punch comes in. You know, it's like two forces colliding
Right. Because
they're both thinking about the same thing, only one wants it and one doesn't. And,
Yes. You
know, it's so sad when you think about that.
Yep.
And I say that to men. One of the things that they've robbed most and taken away from women is their self of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've really mutated a lot of these women who are just dead, you know, who just suppressed all their sexual feelings from being rejected so many times. You know, when you're told that you're not good in the bedroom, that you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too busty, you're not busty enough, you know, that you smell bad, that your breath is bad, that you smell down there. You know, what kind of thing is that to tell a woman so you can avoid making love to her because you're gay? I mean, how do you be so cruel to a woman and put that kind of, you know, mental thing on her, that there's something wrong with her, and that's why you're not having sex? That's the kind of stuff that really upsets me, Brian, that men have to start facing that, you know, the harm they're doing to these women, right?
Right.
So that's what I tell men. If you want to do the right thing, If you need help, Dr. Brian Hooper is your man who will help you through this because, you know, nobody's an island and can do it alone. And there's no shame in going for help and for therapy, but you need to go with someone who can be honest with you. And that's one thing, Brian, you'll always be honest with these guys, right?
Yes, I will. And I will help them find the courage to be honest as well. You know, as you know, as a licensed clinical pastoral therapist, I work with people of all religious and not religious orientations, straight and gay, but we're always working together to integrate the bigger spiritual perspective. In other words, the big questions of who am I, what's my life about, what's important to me, together with psychological insight, because we want to help people be the most whole people they can be. And it's oftentimes people wake up to their spiritual connection with the rest of creation, that they recognize they don't need to control everything. They can speak the truth and live with the consequence, and it will be okay. There's something bigger than they are that supports us in living the truth.
Well, I don't think we can solve all the problems of the world, but we're solving a lot of them, right?
Well, we're giving it our best shot. And you know what? I look at it this way. If I help you help one other person this week, be it one of your women or one of the men that are listening in, then it's well worth our time doing this, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. If anybody can get the help and encouragement that we're looking for, you know, that's why we do this, so that your life can become clearer. Now, as that song says in the beginning, you know, and I know that it was inspired by my friend Heather in California, who looks back at it now and says, oh, it's so corny now that I, you know, she's so much further in her journey. But it's never corny to me, because the fact that you can see clearly without all of the obstructions and all of the distortions that are going on in your marriage, that's the goal, to be able to see things for what they are so that you can live an authentic life. You know, when these guys live these lives of distortion, Brian, then the women are living it with them.
That's
their lives are distorted also. It's not just, oh, well, let him do what he wants and I'm going to live my life. It doesn't work that way. They become women who they weren't intended to be. You know, they're beaten down emotionally and mentally, and they can't stand up for themselves because these guys just take away whatever sense of self-worth they have. So they're living somebody else's life, too, that they weren't destined to live. So it's really important to see that clarity and to see, like Brian says, if you did not sign up for this, then don't feel you have to stay in it, right? Is that what you say? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, essentially, yes, that's right. Absolutely. You don't have to live with what it is that you didn't sign up for.
Right, because, you know, then people tell me, Brian, you know, I want to end with this, but... You know, you're a pastor, and you told me that you do marriages, and in those marriages you take vows, and one of those vows is, you know, in richness, and for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And people say, well, if somebody's sick, you know, you can't just abandon him. But homosexuality is not a sickness, and I think that's where women get, you know, thrown off on this. That they say, well, how can I abandon him? How can I leave? You know, he's gay. There's something wrong. What do you respond to that?
State the question again. I kind of missed the
question.
Like
if somebody says, when you're taking a wedding vow in sickness and health, till death do we part, they're saying, well, how can I just walk away from the marriage? If there's something wrong with my husband, can I just abandon him?
Oh, because he's... No, okay, so that confuses sexual orientation, which the man has come to grips with some sort of dis-ease, and not a disease. Being gay is not something we diagnose. Being unaccepting of the fact that you're gay, that's something we can diagnose. It's discordant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if he realizes... comes to grips with, accepts the fact that he's gay, then from where I sit, from my pastoral perspective, you know, I want to help them move on with their lives, not create further turmoil for themselves. I said to straight folks, listen, the vase breaks on the floor in 1,000 little pieces beyond repair. The first thing we do is sweep it up. People don't set their feet on the sharp edges. We don't try to put it all back together again. And when a man's out of the game, he's married to a woman, they can continue to go on and have a relationship. They don't have to stop relating, but it needs to be a different relationship. They need to be free to go on with their lives in a healthy way. You know, when they've got children, of course they'll still be relating to each other because they've got children. But it'll be a different relating, and it will be honest now.
Well, that's what it comes down to, ladies. This is not in sickness or in health. This is for in straight and for gay, and you weren't, you know, committed to keeping to that. So if you need help, Dr. Hooper also counsels women. I mean, not just your gay husbands, but he'll be the most uplifting counselor and therapist you can have, and he can counsel you by phone or by Skype. And how can women get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to your website if they want, and I'm on a sidebar there, and tell everybody what your website is again, please.
GayHusbands.com, and go to my links, which is now on the bar going across. Pull it down, and you'll find Dr. Brian Hooper there. And also you can go to Dr. Brian Hooper, D-R-B, yeah, I was going to spell it for them, D-R-B-R-I-A-N-H-O-O-P-E-R. com, right?
That's right. That's my website, and they can find my email address there as well, okay?
All right. Well, Brian, thank you for a wonderful evening, as always. You always make us all feel so much better. On behalf
of all
of our women who you really help to heal and the men who you're working with, we thank you. I love
thank
you.
You.
And
love
I'll
you
look
too.
Forward to talking to you again at the end of the month next month.
Happy September.
Thank you. We'll have our healing weekend. I'll talk to you all about it when you come back.
Wonderful. Thanks.
All
Good
right.
Night.
Take care. Night, ladies. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.